Tal como Sir fazer que você defendeu o né? Sarpsicus, o chefs, e Stego, que o refrão é da Arena, o né? Sarcophane, se calça, su, venom, ski, woosh, scanner, the rocha, o Seth, knocking it, no, we're off to see the grease, and there, turn on it. It's mocha latte time. Packed show for y'all this week. We have the coffee scenes from Evansville, Indiana and Shelbyville, Tennessee. Take a ride with me on the motorcycle out on a coffee expedition. And I have an interview with the Frickin' Circus podcast host, Frick himself. And all new music exclusive from Mod Dog coming up next. Welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan, your host, coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV. That's my RV. And this is my weekly podcast where I come to you for on the road with the circus. And that's right, circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee. And this is my weekly podcast that you're listening to either on your MP3 player or your computer, wherever you're at in the world, you're right here with me in the RV, and I invite you to come along with me. It's always a wild ride every week. I try to you never know what you're gonna get out here. It's crazy from one week to the next. But we have a great show coming up this week. I'm excited about the show. This show's been a long time in the making, in the sense that it was a highly involved editing process this week. But editing in that, you know, I had out, you know, hour, 2 or 3 hours of audio that had to whittle down for, you know, to fit in the podcast constraints, because I know you don't have all day to listen to podcasts. You're probably a busy person out there doing busy person things in the big wide world. So, you know, yeah, I know you don't have a lot of time, but yeah, I'm glad you tuned in and spent some time with me here on the podcast this week. We're gonna have a good time. We did a split week this week, which, if you remember, in circus terminology, circus jargon, which you're gonna get some more of that later in the podcast. And don't be afraid. It's nothing to be afraid of. Circus jargon it'll make you a better person. You can use it on the street, actually, and people won't know what you're saying, really, but it's okay, because you'll know. And then you'll meet someone else who says the same thing, and you say, "Hey, did you listen to that Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World podcast too?" And they'll say, "No." And you'll say, "Oh, I thought, because you, never mind." Okay, so I'm digressing here. So this week was split week, and we are in Evansville, Indiana, which is right north of Henderson. Is it Hendersonville or Henderson? I think it's just Henderson, Kentucky. It's right on the border between Indiana and Kentucky there. And then we spent the second half of the week here in Shelbyville, Tennessee, which is the home of nothing else less than the Tennessee Walker Horse. Yes, we're here on the, they call it the Celebration. No lie, that's the name of the fairgrounds, is the Celebration. We're on the Celebration Fairgrounds, and this is the world international hub of Tennessee Walker Horses. And we played Calsonic Arena this week, which is where they have the horse show annually. And I guess it's a really big deal in the horse community. I've never been much of a horse person. I like them. I watch them every day. I work with horses in the sense that I play music while they do their thing. And in the show, we have like 7 of them here on the show. Arabians and Andalusians. I don't know all their names yet. Not yet. But, yeah. This is kind of like Tennessee Walker horse capital of the world. So the coffee scene this week, I'm going to get to that later in the podcast. But I wanted to, first, I thought it'd be cool to invite y'all on take a morning ride with me on the bike. As you know, every week I ride the motorcycle around, trying out coffee places. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to take you along with me in my backpack, kind of do a little coffee adventure on my bike. And I was online, and really, to tell you the truth, there wasn't much coffee in this area of Tennessee this week. And there was a place 30 miles away that I found, Google Earth, which is my usual weekly, is what I use to search. And yeah, so I thought, hey, be nice. The weather was supposed to be nice on Friday, and I figured, what better to invite you all, worldwide coffee people of the world, to take a motorcycle ride with me. So it was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy it. Check it out. Okay, so you're going to come along with me today on coffee venture, search, I don't know what you call it, but you're here with me on the circus lot this week in, where the heck are we, Shelbyville, Tennessee, that's right. We're on the Celebration grounds here, which is the hub of the Tennessee Walker Horse. And it's a beautiful day. It's a sunny. It's about mid-40s. And I've got the bike ready. I'll check the tire pressures. And getting ready to hop on it here and head down to Lincoln, Tennessee, to Elk River Coffee House. And I think that's about all I have planned for today as far as checking out coffee. It's a little ways away, about 30 miles. So hold on tight, because you're going to come along with me. I'm going to throw you in the backpack, so don't reach around too much, because you might mess up my motorcycle driving. That wouldn't be good. It's not good. So, all right, here we go. Fire up the bike. There we go. Now we're ready. All right, so hold on tight. Here we go. Safe and sound. It's actually a beautiful day to ride. Sunny, about upper 40s, I'd say. A little cloudy, a few clouds, but beautiful ride. And it's a little, I had to be careful though, because it was a little, there's some leftover dust from the salt in the median of the road, which doesn't make it quite safe riding for motorcycles. But yeah, so I'm here in Fayetteville, and you're probably saying, but Nathan, you said Lincoln. Well, I had the wrong name of the town, but I still got here okay. I knew it was south, somewhere south of Shelbyville. So it's a quaint old town, a lot of brick buildings. The downtown has a town square, has they definitely have kind of that very small town America kind of feel to it. I hope you can hear me with all the cars and stuff, but a lot of old shops, like the old barber shops. I saw a cafe and pool hall, and I think I saw a marble shop for marbles. And the town square has this great old brick building. I assume it's the town hall or maybe the courthouse, right in the middle of the square there. And you can park all around there. And of course, this is one of the little side streets. And I'm about to go to Elk River Coffee House. That was my original destination in the first place. But yeah, very quiet little town. And it's kind of one thing I noticed, you know, riding down here, was it's amazing to see how the countryside changes. You know, in Shelbyville, it's kind of flat, a lot of horse farms, a lot of horse farms. But as the more and more I rode into the hills, it's like you can see a lot of old homesteads, you know, that have been around probably 150,
200 years, which if you're in Europe, that's, you know, that's a blink of an eye. But over here in the U.S., that's, you know, that's a bit of time. So, but it's amazing to see it, a lot of the old homesteads with the kind of, you know, the farm, the big farmhouses and the cattle and just, I don't know, the different way people live. Actually, on the way into Fayetteville here, I saw some amazing old Victorian houses with columns and such. It's pretty cool. But I'm hungry. I need to get something to eat. So I'm going to head off to the cafe, grab a mocha latte, of course, and get some food. So, all right. Over now. Okay, so I just finished lunch, and it's still sunny. That's a good thing. And it was a good lunch. It was a nice little coffee place. Definitely a small town, but they had La Marzocco machine, a lot of attention to detail and the design of the place. Very, very friendly kind of community atmosphere. And good food, too. Good baked goods. Sticky buns and cinnamon buns and cake. I got some, I think I bought some nice looking carrot cake. It was you could see the layers to it, and it had some walnuts on top with frosting, and just looks real very very filling and very bad for you, but that's part of the, but it has carrots in it, so it's really good for you, right? So I'm gonna hop back on the bike here, just finished up with lunch, and my stomach is nice and full, no longer growling, and be able to concentrate better on the road. And I'm gonna head up to back to the downtown here and up on Route 50 to Lynchburg, Tennessee. And if I make it there without getting lost, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do there. All right, back on the bike. Here we go. Welcome to Lynchburg. I made it here safe and sound, and I just finished a tour of probably what the main thing that Lynchburg is known for, which is the Jack Daniel's Distillery here in Lynchburg, Tennessee. And I have to say, it was pretty enlightening. I never really knew how whiskey was made, and I would say if anybody who's a foodie, or I don't know, is interested in food or the process of making of anything, I think you'd really enjoy the tour. Even if you don't drink whiskey at all, I think you'd really enjoy seeing how they put the mash and they boil it and then distill the vapored alcohol down in through coal, and it's very, very cool to see the whole process. And And it's nice grounds here. They've actually, this is the only place in the world where this is made, where Jack Daniel's is made. And they have a nice tour facility here on the original grounds of the distillery. And you can take a tour. It's about an hour, a little bit over an hour long. And they take you through the whole process from step one all the way to the end. So pretty cool. And it was beautiful weather too. There's quite a bit of walking on the tour, but Lynchburg, I have to say, it's definitely a little, they have a little historic downtown, and obviously the draw here is the distillery and the history of that and the tours. It's a little downtown area with lots of shops, and it's kind of nestled here in the hills of Tennessee. It's, I guess you'd say, south central Tennessee.
pretty close to the Georgia border, actually. But it's a beautiful, beautiful late winter afternoon now. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon, and the sun is coming through the trees here, casting some long shadows on the parking lot. And the parking lot, I have to note for you motorcycle people out there, they have special parking just for motorcycles, which that right away that put me in a good mood. Anytime, because usually motorcycles you have to park in a full car spot and take up a full spot, and I always feel guilty because, you know, someone could have parked there. But they have special parking just for motorcycles, which is up right by the door. So it's, perhaps you could say, preferred parking would be a good way to put it. But in any case, they got parking for RVs as well. So it's my kind of parking lot. I wish all places that had tours or parking lots of any sort would, maybe they could follow the Jack Daniels, tradition or whatever. But what a nice day. So glad you came out with me today on the ride. I'm going to put you back in the backpack. It's time to head back to Shelbyville and get ready for the show tonight. So start up the bike here. All right. Sounds good. Gonna hop on the bike, throw you in my backpack, and head on back to the circus lot. So I'm back here where I started. Just got back on the bike, back to square one. Turn the engine off. There we go. So yeah, welcome back to the circus lot. That was a good day. It was a good day. About, how many miles did I do today? About 60, 65. So it was a good morning ride. Got to try out a coffee shop. Got to take a tour, see some of the backcountry Tennessee on beautiful weather on the motorcycle, and you got to ride along with me. So hope you had fun, and I may do this again. We'll see. Maybe next time we'll try to talk to some coffee people that like motorcycles. That'd be fun. So yeah. All right. So from the circus lot, back at the Flying Dutchman RV, and from the motorcycle. So long. Adios. Back. So I hope you're not too tired from riding around on the bike. You can tell your friends this week that you took a ride around South Central Tennessee on a motorcycle. They'll never believe you, but you can tell them. You can tell them that. So the coffee scene from this week, as I said before, it was a split week. This week between Evansville, Indiana, and Shelbyville, Tennessee. So I have five places quick here before we get on to the frickin' circus interview. The first place was the Coffee Cottage and Cafe right there in Evansville. And this place just opened like 3 weeks, well, maybe not even 3 weeks ago, so it's brand spanking new. And very nice place. They had, the day I went, I tried their shepherd's pie that they have. And very country. It's right there by the college in town, and the cafe has a very homey kind of country kind of feel. But they do serve like coffee and espresso drinks. And I wrote here, so they do serve food, like menu full food and great desserts, like home baked, really great home baked goods and desserts are. But the mocha latte, I wrote here, oversized and too sweet are my first impressions. Served auto-to-go cup, auto-whipped cream. Chocolate seemed okay, but espresso was barely noticeable. They only served 20-ounce size, just overall too sweet and unbalanced. So I gave that drink a 2.5 beans. Next up is Penny Lane Coffee House, which is right there in downtown Evansville. And very, very cool kind of vibe, very chill. They do have live music. It's, I guess, kind of like a closest thing I can think of is like a hippie coffee house, because they have a lot of, you know, that type of organic stuff. Like all their, they serve organic teas, organic, I think, like baked goods. And you can get shots of, wheatgrass shots, and shots of some other kind of herb or something like that. So, which I've never seen in a coffee house before, so that's pretty cool. And they definitely encourage conversation. They have a big bookshelf at the one end, no frills kind of place. The floor is all just regular sheet board that's been, I don't know if you call it varnished or had some kind of sealant put over it, and there's art, local art on the walls. So very, very interesting kind of place. Their mocha latte I wrote here, I took a book and I sat there for a while and got a mocha latte, and I wrote here they try hard on this drink, but the espresso was just lackluster. Chocolate was at least there. It had average foam. Served in-house cup. They asked on the whipped cream. I wrote this drink was just there. Nothing exciting, really. So I gave them 3.5 beans on that drink. Next up is Wired Coffee House. Now, this place had a totally different vibe than the Penny Lane. Now, this is right downtown. There's a street there. I don't know the name of the street now off the top of my head. But if you don't look closely, you'll walk right by it. It's just a skinny door there. And it's definitely more of the rock kind of, I don't know if you'd say, it's not hipster really. It's more rock, more like rock and roll kind of meets coffee. And so they have live bands there as well. And maybe it's punk. Maybe it was kind of rock and punk kind of feel. Yeah, I think that's more what it was in the cafe. But they have internet computers where you can go on the internet there and have some seats. You can sit down, and it's definitely geared towards live bands. Just the way they had the setup there with they had a mixing board right by the espresso machine, which I thought was kind of interesting. Kind of putting your daisies beside your sheetrock drywall. But anyways, so their mocha latte wrote here, very milk heavy drink, served in house cup, it was served auto to go cup. My bad, I gotta fix that. What was I thinking? Yeah, served auto to go cup. Loose foam. They asked on the whipped cream. Chocolate and espresso were both weak. Just a weak drink all around. Wrote here, would not drink again. So I gave them a 2.9 beans. So next up, jumping over to the coffee shop you just heard about in Fayetteville, the Elk River Coffee Company. They are, well, I think I described the cafe a little bit there on the last blurb. But it's very, very cool place. Kind of, I don't know how would you call it. It's definitely a modern setup, but has a homey kind of feel. There's some couches there, bright colors. There's some yellows with deep burgundy reds, and just big windows where you can sit at a counter and watch the street and life go by outside. And they have wonderful baked goods, as I mentioned in the podcast. I tried their carrot cake and a pecan sticky bun, which was exceptional, if I do say so myself, having grown up on Amish baked goods in Michigan. So, yeah, good stuff, good stuff. So their mocha latte, interesting, I wrote. Served out of to-go cup. They asked on the whipped cream. Chocolate was dominant and tasted a little fake to me. Espresso was so-so with average foam on top. So I gave them a 3.6 beans on there. And next up is, last but not least, Shelbyville, Tennessee. The one and only coffee shop in Shelbyville, Tennessee, was the Coffee Break, right there on the main town square. Shelbyville, also, like Fayetteville, Tennessee, has a town square with like a courthouse, or the main, I guess it's probably, I don't know if that's where all the government offices are now, but in the old days, I'm sure that's where they all were. And wrote here, well, you walk in, first of all, you walk in, and this also has a very quaint kind of feel, two levels there, and has tables for four or more that you can sit down at. And like I said, there's two levels. There's a top level for extra seating. And they do some kind of like sandwiches and breakfast stuff. I think I had a ham and a biscuit and cheese there. And but their mocha latte, which is more important. Oh yeah, and I think they had hardwood floors with kind of that brick. It was definitely a vintage building with that brick side walls with kind of like a painted copper tin design on the ceiling there. But the mocha latte wrote here, I had a hard time finishing this drink, which I did. No foam, burnt espresso, some chocolates there, but served auto to go cup. The burnt espresso, it just killed this drink. It really did. So I gave that drink a 1.7 beans. So that caps up the coffee scene for this week. And now the long awaited, much took me a long time to edit this. I had, like I said, like almost an hour and a half of audio. This was, I took, as you remember, from Charlotte part one, I took a trip from Charlotte up to Raleigh, North Carolina. It was about a three and a half hour trip, I believe. And took a trip up there to see the Blue Show guys and got some time to sit down with Frick from the Frickin' Circus podcast. He is also does a circus podcast, not on coffee, just on circus life, and it's good stuff. I'd highly recommend checking it out at just go to frickincircus.com. And now I have to let everybody know there'd be a couple pauses in there. I edited out the expletives because it's this podcast is labeled clean, so wanted to keep the rating, so yeah, so you know, on there ahead of time. And yeah, good stuff. So I got to sit down with them. We talked about everything from coffee to life in the circus. We had a special, unexpected guest that I'm not going to say who it is. He's not famous, but he was, well, I'm not going to say any more than that. You're going to have to listen to it. And, yeah, so it was a good time. We had a lot of fun. So, yep, we're going to send a Frickin' Circus interview, and then after this, we'll wrap it up for this week.
Did you like that coffee?
Yeah, what was it called?
Morning Times.
Morning Times. Yeah, because mm-hmm. there's the Raleigh Times is right next to it, I think.
Yeah, but I think that whole food complex is like, each has a Times thing, you know, it's like Raleigh Times, like, but it's all like owned by the same owner, and that's like the coffee division.
Okay, right.
Because
right.
I saw some people from the other one, the next door one, the Raleigh Times, in there having a meeting yesterday.
Okay. It looked like there was a kitchen behind there that went farther than what the front. Okay.
Yeah,
it was a cool little space though, because they had, you know, you had your downstairs kind of like your quick grab and go area, and then upstairs you had a nice place with a few like chairs to kind of lounge around, and some art on the walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the vibe. The big open space. A lot of tables. An outlet at every table.
Yeah.
Electric outlet, you know?
That's true.
Good internet.
Yeah, you had prime real estate by a hundo because the lady came right after I left.
But all those tables along that wall had electrical at each table, which is a great feature that a lot of places overlook, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, you'll have like two outlets in the whole room. And I've been to a lot of coffee shops like that, which is really frustrating to do that.
My first visit there, they actually brought the coffee up to me. They said, well, we'll bring it up, which is a nice thing. Not every place would do that, especially if it's an upstairs, downstairs.
Right.
And they brought it up. It was nice. But I had the hot chocolate, which tasted strangely like something from a mix. Like,
oh, really?
It had like a little too sweet factor and not rich kind of sweet, just like processed kind of sweet, like sugar kind of sweet, not like creamy cheap, sweet. Yeah. Which was, I couldn't tell because everything in there was so good. And the drink was like presented very nicely. There was like a swirl of foam, of milk foam, like on the top to make a nice pattern. Mm-hmm. And it was in a nice mug. Mm-hmm. And they handed it to me very nicely. So I felt like it would be weird with all that there if they got this out of a packet. I thought that would be kind of weird, but you never know.
Well, after our conversation this morning about how it's presented to you affects how it tastes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's totally possible.
Mm-hmm. The girl who made my mocha latte this morning, like, didn't look at me when she handed it to me, and didn't, like, give me, like, it didn't give me the impression like she was making it with love. She was just, like, going through the steps. She was just, like, clink, clink, chick, chick, bunk, bunk, and then put it on the counter. And it's like, that is, like, that's more of a, I'm not a connoisseur of coffees and stuff. And I don't know, like, I've listened to the show when you're going through, like, the balance of the flavor, and you're talking about like the balance and that kind of thing, and like for me a lot of that would be lost on me, but I do appreciate if the place gives you like the personal touch. They look at you in the face when they hand it to you and enjoy, and you know, how is it good, you know? And that actually counts for a lot with me.
That's funny because I visited a place this week, like it was kind of the antithesis of this place in that, you know, the drink wasn't all that good. You know, there wasn't that much skill put into how it was made. And you know, it was, but the service aspect, the lady was really nice. She came to check on me, make sure everything tastes okay, you know, do you need more water, like that type of thing. You know, and in a sense, it almost made up for the lack that the drink wasn't that good. But today, I know what you mean. Like, she had, for me, usually the telltale sign is latte art, you know, which is that little,
the
you
little
know, making,
swirl or whatever.
Yeah, the rosetta. Usually it's a rosetta. Yeah, because first of all, you got to be able to have the skill to make the foam, but then the ability to pour it like that into the cup. And and the girl this morning that you're talking about, she had the, she definitely had the ability to make the foam, but she didn't. It just seemed like you said, she didn't care. She just kind of poured it in there and let it go as it would instead of.
She was a little bit of a robot out there. Yeah. She wasn't like loving every moment of her job and making. Like, making food with love, prepared with love, you know? That's everything to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, that's what makes me get into a place, you know? That and the free Wi-Fi.
But not, I found not everyone who serves coffee is crazy about coffee. It's just another job to me. For a lot of people. But
I know, that's interesting. Because there's a lot of places now, it's a popular thing. There's a lot of
really,
jobs in that, you
it's
know?
It's really caught on, yeah. And I was saying to someone the other day that, you know, I think like 80% of these places are places that...
What'd you do to your paw, man?
Sunday night when we were loading.
Yeah.
We had 4 wagons left. 33 wagon comes along. Get it lined up.
Right.
Hook onto the hitch. I was guiding it. Dave was pushing. Wheels hit a rock or hit a piece of board.
No.
Pulled, jerked out of my hand when it did. Landed right on it.
I bet you were howling.
Hollering, I couldn't even stand up.
Oh, man. So what do they say? It's broken, right?
It's not broken. It's what they call crushed.
Oh, phew. It's only crushed.
There's a real small hairline crack.
Yeah, there is.
In one of the bones. Hmm. I tell you what, I would rather have it broken than I would with a hairline crack. Wow. Those are painful.
Wow.
So I'm going to be on crutches for the next 2 weeks, probably.
Yeah, I'm glad you're in one piece, man.
They said I was supposed to have a sit-down job when I'm in about 4 days. I can go back to work, but like I have to have a sit-down job. There's no way I can have a sit-down job if I work. Not working on the train, the flats and all that.
No.
You can't. Mm-hmm. Jumping up and down when you're loading and unloading. Mm-hmm. So I got to go out there Sunday, and all I'm going to do is sit down in the truck, do this, put my thumbs all night. But they gave me Darvocet, so for painkillers.
Did you already sell it?
No, I'm going to go. I'm waiting to go home so I can take one.
Well, we'll talk later on, man.
Yeah. I'm dying for one right now.
Yep.
I mean, it's at home and here I am out here, waiting to get there to get it.
See, this is the real podcasting thing, man. You get the real flavor of the circus when you got a guy walking by in crutches. See, man.
You see someone hurt.
Who got us, exactly. You get like the real flavor when you see a guy come by in crutches who got his foot crushed by a wagon loading on the flats. Like, that's the real deal, man.
And with the corporate advertising and a giant building
So as we moved along and we're eating some of our food, we got to talking about podcasting and a little bit how Frick got started and some of his challenges and just, you know, podcasting in general. Here it is. Check it out.
So what originally, like, I was looking at your blog. What got you from the point of writing the blog to actually putting something down? Like, I remember you were saying about, you know, with having the microphone. And, you know, I think you said you tried, what was it, your little tape recorder mic first or your computer mic?
I tried the computer mic first.
Okay.
And I didn't... I was getting a lot of noise from the computer, you know. And I've always felt that, like, there's certain sound quality things that I'd be willing to compromise, but not if they were distracting to the listener. Not if they were distracting or physically uncomfortable. And so I just kind of used that standard, you know, where I said, you know, I'll try to do it in some way. It may not be technologically advanced. It may not be sophisticated, but if you can just listen to it without noticing that you're listening to anything, if you can just get through it, you know, and just pay attention to the words, then that's good. That's it. That's the standard, you know. And at times when I've gotten stuff on the recorder and there's like a lot of background noise that's, you know, troublesome or whatever, I'll just use cuts and then track stuff at home around there and just kind of like narrate my way through the bad audio so that you get little bits and pieces. You don't, you're not with a bad background noise for so long that it physically gets it grating.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I use a lot of EQ and compression in the processing too, with the idea in mind that, like, make it easier to listen to, not unnatural in any way. Don't try to do anything to the sound, just try to keep it listenable, you know. And even I've even used companding to, like, get rid of noise in a couple instances. Didn't work very good. No, a lot of times it draws attention to the noise even though it's less in there.
Right, yeah.
So,
Now, was there any point, like, when you listened to an episode that you've made thus far? Because how many episodes in are you right now?
I'm 25 now. 25.
Yeah, I think this one will be about 21 for me.
So that's a big accomplishment, man.
Yeah, most
it's a huge amount of work.
A lot of podcasts don't live much past, what, 4 or 5?
Yeah, most of them fade out.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Hey, I did a guest podcast at Feedburner about pod fading.
Really?
I made like the 10 the 10 steps to avoid pod fading podcast. And I gave it, I broke it down. Like, here's the 10 rules, man. That's boom, good. Boom, boom. Yeah.
That's good.
They're hard to live by, to be honest with you. Like, I've had a couple slow months in the time, yeah. like when I was getting ready for my band's tour.
Despite common popular belief, life on the circus isn't so hunky dory as they say. There are times when, you know, the reality sets in and it kind of sobers you in a sense. And on top of that, you know, when you have waterfalls in your train halls, and it can kind of make it for a rough day. And you'll hear joining this segment is Mike. He's the bass player who wandered over. That tends to happen when you have microphones set up. People kind of wander over, but that's cool because that makes for good podcasting. So, circus life.
You know, like,
especially hits you after you've spent some time with like family. You know, like in a regular bed, a regular house. You know, with people going to work, kids going to school, that kind of stuff.
And then you come back,
and then you come back, and you're like. Well, my life is way different than the average human being.
You're out of touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you start to worry because it happened to me when I came back from break in December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we spent all of November playing in Chicago, which, you know, I'm from.
Okay.
So we played in Rosemont, and then we played at the United Center.
Yeah.
And then I was home for the whole month of December. So 2 months I was home. You know, in and out of place and this thing and the other, man. And I tell you, you know, it was, when I came back to the train, it was like, holy crap. Oh, man, it was a huge, I didn't understand, I didn't think
the train was a mess, too, man. Adjustment.
Yeah.
When I got back, our floor was a mess. The train smelled like, you know, who knows what. It smelled like someone's you know, it was just like, whoa.
Make sure one of these days you put into your podcast how you etched the word with cleaner. You clean the word. No.
Clean me.
No, he actually cleaned. Oh, this is classy. He cleaned a square.
Yeah.
Patch in front of his door.
It's still clean. It's the white shadow.
Yeah.
It's the only clean place on the floor in our train
so
car.
So clean. That you thought Pete's light was on and he was home.
Yeah.
You walk by, you're like, oh, Pete's home. I just go, and you knock on the door, and then it's gone. Yeah. It's
patch. Still there. I clean it every week. It's the only patch of the floor that gets clean.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's like a hole in the middle of the dirt. And it, you know, last night, I may have told you this. I don't know. Who was it? T and Dave?
We need water over here.
Yeah, right. And then beep in his horn. All right, so last night, yesterday we went all day. Third day this week, by the way. Third day in a week that we've gone without water on the train. Like, no water. Turn on the faucet, nothing. Like, so, anyways. So, you know, that's a problem. And at 6 o'clock last night, finally, that guy, Dave, like, fixes our water, right? And then within 5 minutes of fixing the water, I see this river come flowing out from under Mullen's door because he had, like, tried it and left it open.
Oh, no.
And the sink filled up on top of his dirty dishes, flowed out of the sink, and just started, like, flowing out. And, like, it went under the walls into the room next door to his. And all. The whole hallway from wall to wall was an inch deep of water rushing down the hall all the way out of the train.
You gotta be kidding.
And it's cold out, so it's like freezing on the steps and everything. And it's like, I slip and fall in it, you know. I mean, it was so bad. So I call up Mullen on the phone. I'm like, where are you at, man? Are you home? Because we got to get your door open and shut off your sink. And he goes, why? What's up? I was like, are you home? He goes, I'm at a restaurant. I was like, do you have a key hidden anywhere? He's like, I'm in a restaurant. I'm like, look, you really got to start answering questions, man. There's water everywhere. Why? What's going on? There's water everywhere. There's water coming out of your door. Do you have a key in the train anywhere? I'm in a restaurant. It's like, oh. I'm like, do you have? And finally, I hung up on him. I was like, that's it. He's not helping. I'm just going to hang up. Like, I'm not going to sit there and keep asking the same questions again and again. I hung up on him. I just called T. T T came by with a master key finally. You know,
by the way, Mullen is the more responsible of us.
Is that
in
true?
In case you were wondering.
That's funny. Oh, man. Yeah. Yowza. It was something.
Don't get me started.
Oh, it was funny.
Man, mess around getting me started in a podcast that'll get me thrown in jail.
No one knows what a podcast is around here. They can't find it. I'm getting a little cold.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to get on in.
I got to do a ticket request. I hope Dion's in there. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some crazy times on the circus. And when we're playing the show, sometimes we'll come up with things to occupy. Because, you know, when you play the same music day in and day out, it can you know, become quite repetitive. And so we come up with little oddities to amuse us as such. But, and also circus, you got to come up with some words to describe. You'll hear, well, if you remember, 40 Miler was one that Mitch talked about in Coffee with the Clowns. And if you want to know what a 40 Miler is, you got to go back and listen to the Coffee with the Clowns episode there in Sarasota. But we drop a few more words of circus jargon that, unbeknownst to us, were common amongst the units. So, and another thing to listen for, you'll hear people in the background. It's kind of cool. Their wagons and such are getting set up for the show because it's just about showtime. It's kind of cool to hear the kids kind of wandering around and with the parents, the circus performer kids. So, yeah.
James Bond movie. He's one of the guys in our band is a big Bond fan. So we developed our own movie because we're the gold unit, so we're going to call it the gold member, you know? Or the man with the gold unit or something like that. And of course, everyone on the show, you know, has like certain acts or evil, you know, people. It's pretty insane.
Yeah.
You gotta have something.
You gotta have something. What time is it now, man? Are we close to nervous?
Oh.
6:07? When's nervous tonight? Like 6:30, right?
Yeah, 6:30 is nervous tonight.
Yeah. Do you guys say that word nervous? That's like something that some people have said. Yeah.
Get nervous.
Yeah.
Time to get
nervous.
We
say it too.
Wow.
Okay, yeah.
We have the home stretch that we call home stretch.
What's that?
It's usually you pick one point in the show where there's like a down point where like no one's playing or holding a note. And that's like the last point in the show where nothing's going on. Yeah. You say home stretch, and then but it has to be the last show of the day, whatever day it is, and then, you know, from there on out, it's you're done with the show.
That's really cool. That's a good one. I'm glad that we're getting that for the podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
And I've never mentioned nervous for the podcast, which is like, it's not just a time, it's a concept. You know, for us, it's like it's time to get nervous, or people say, which is the time, I'll just say it for people listening, that it's the time, even though we all know, but it's the time when you get ready, like you get in your costume and you go to like go get on the bandstand.
Yeah,
you know,
it's that time when you start getting your focus.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's not that you're actually going to get nervous.
No.
It has nothing to do with getting nervous.
Not at all.
And then, so we always say that getting nervous, you know, thing. And it's funny. And I like that one, though, the home stretch.
When there's slick Sunday. Slick Sunday is when you don't move on a Sunday. Slick the trumpet player.
On the red show.
Yeah, that's it.
It's slick Sunday.
Slick Sunday is Sunday when
you don't have to jump.
Move.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know
it didn't happen too often. I think we had a slick Sunday a week ago.
We did. Yeah. We did this week.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Cool.
That about wraps up the search for the best mocha latte in the world for this week. And that was Frick from FrickinCircus.com. He does a podcast up there on Circus Life. Good stuff. And so upcoming events. We are going to be in Ottumwa. I hope I said that right. In Iowa. It's about, I think, an hour or two south of Des Moines. Long drive this week. We're going to be out in Ottumwa. I don't know if there's coffee out there or not. I'll find out and let you know. We're going to be in Ottumwa this week, and then next week, the week after that, the following week, we are in Waco, Texas. And then we're in Texas for, my goodness, I'd say maybe a month and a half. So if anybody can recommend any good coffee in Texas, please send me an email at bestmochalatte@podomatic.com. And if you have any comments about the show or feedback, I'd love to hear from you. I'd always love to hear where people are listening from and how they like to drink their coffee, or if they love espresso straight up, or if they like it with a little bit of cream in it, or what have you. Shoot me an email, or you can leave a voicemail if you go to bestmochalatte.podomatic.com, which is the webpage for this podcast, and you can dial the number there and leave me a voicemail. Or you can also add me as a friend on MySpace. That's right, I have a MySpace page up for this podcast, and the link is there on that webpage. And I also want to send out a thank you to Blueberry Network for help hosting the podcast. You can find them at blueberry.com, which is blueberry.com. There's no E in fruit, so there's no E in berry. And that about wraps it up for this week. Coming up, we have a musical exclusive from Mod Dog. He calls this Pikeville Chill. And that's chill with an E, because we were just in Pikeville, and that's where he wrote it. So, good stuff, good stuff. I really like this. Very, very laid back. So, definitely put on a pot of coffee or pull a shot of espresso and enjoy. And until next week, as always, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.